This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kim Cheadle resigned, but we're going to have a talk about trust in institutions and why that matters for a nation. Senator Ron Johnson joins us. He's doing his own investigation into all this. Proof of life from Joe Biden and more coming up on I'm Right. All right, let's have a talk about trust. And I'll tell you what I'm not going to address tonight. Senator Bob Menendez announced he's going to be resigning in August. Is it even news that a New Jersey politician was convicted of crimes and now he's getting kicked out of office? It's not even news. I don't even want to talk about it. I want to talk about this Secret Service thing, Kim Cheadle, the testimony yesterday, and trust. Really, that's what we're going to talk about, trust. Trust is really everything in any relationship, is it not? Every relationship, whether we're talking about a personal relationship, you and your husband, you and your wife, you and your children, trust has to be there, doesn't it? It just has to be. Your child has to trust that mom and dad love them, have their best interest at heart. They have to trust that mom's going to be there to pick them up from practice. Dad won't ever hurt them. There has to be a trust there. Trust between spouses. Trust has to be there. Business, it does not just that world, the business world. There has to be a level of trust there. Every day, my producer, Matt, every single day, my producer, Matt, and I were talking about politics. What do we want to talk about? This or that. I have to trust that Matt is on it. Matt's going to be on the news stories. If something's breaking, I don't catch it. Matt is on it. He's all over. Matt, John, Alex, they're going to put together stuff for the show. I have to have trust there. They have to have trust that I'm going to show up, do a show. I'm not going to get drunk and wrap my car around a tree. Trust has to be there. But for a nation, on a bigger level, there is a relationship between citizens and their government. In every single nation, this has always been the case. It is a relationship. Whatever form of government it is, it could be a monarchy. We could be talking about kings and queens and the peasants, or a constitutional republic, a representative republic like ours. Doesn't matter the form of government it is, there is a relationship between citizens and their government. And there always, always, always must be a certain level of trust between citizens and their government. Otherwise, the whole relationship's going to blow up. Look, we'll take it back to personal real quick before we get to Kim Cheadle. In your personal relationship, if I stop at the gas station on the way home for some hot Cheetos with some of the cheese dip that I put on it, and I get home and the wife says, "Why are you late? 5 minutes late." She wouldn't do this. And I say, "I stopped over for Cheetos." She said, "No, you were probably out drinking or something somewhere." How long would the relationship last if that's what life was like? Every time she picked up her phone, she's on it. "Who are you texting? Is that another guy?" How long would it last? It's not going to last. It doesn't work. That's the kind of relationship we currently have with our government. And it's getting worse and worse and worse as the abuse from the government continues without end. I have been warning about the lack of trust, the loss of trust in our institutions for the longest time. In fact, I warned you time and time and time and time again during COVID, as every government institution was weaponized against you and only worked on behalf of the system. I warned all the people in power, you are separating yourself from the people. You are breaking the trust chain, and it is not easily repaired. And now here we sit. We are 10 days removed from the attempted assassination of the Republican nominee for president of the United States of America. And here's how it normally works. How it normally works when people come up with, I'm going to call them conspiracy theories, even though I don't like using this term anymore, but normally, in the wake of anything, no matter what it is, it could be an earthquake, but especially things like assassination attempts, man-made horrors, man-made things, in the wake of anything, it is human nature to start coming up with conjuring stories in your mind about what may have happened, what did happen. It was the grassy knoll. It was that's a very human nature thing. But over time, the JFK assassination aside, over time, most of those theories, while they'll always still exist on some level, they tend to kind of fade away with the passage of time. They just don't last. Why is that? Why don't they last? Because as information, as new information is revealed, as information is provided by the people, provided to the people, I should say, the people will see clearly, oh, okay, we have this document, we have this video, we have this audio. No, I read it myself. Okay, never mind. As the truth is revealed, the conspiracy theories tend to fade away. But we have a really big problem here with the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. What happened that day? I don't know. And you know I don't ever bring you wild theories I have unless I tell you they're wild theories. I don't do that. I would never try to mislead you. I give you my honesty about what I feel about things. What happened that day? Was it a deranged, nut job, lone gunman commie who wanted to blow Trump's head off? Maybe. Certainly could be. A guy who got his knowledge of firearms, explosive from the dark web? Could be. Was this an assassination attempt arranged by a hostile foreign entity? Iran, Russia, China? I don't know. How would I know? Was this an assassination attempt arranged by the United States government? I don't know. How would I know? Look, when the Secret Service director sits in front of Congress and is asked about basics like the radio communications and answers like this, well, how am I supposed to know?
Does the Secret Service routinely record communications between and amongst detail?
Radio communications?
Any communication.
Well, email communications are captured, as well as text messages. And then, depending on the detail, radio communications are recorded.
Does the Secret Service have recorded communications from the July 13th event?
We do not have radio communications from that day.
What? On the day the Secret Service failed, and that's being kind. You know, look, as we go through the different theories in our head, the Secret Service failing is the nicest thing we can say. You don't have the radio recordings of that day? What happened? Did they get lost right next to the Epstein files the FBI recovered from his home? Where are the radio communications from that day? Why don't we have them? These are the things that lead to theories. Theories that have people, myself included, going all over the place. What happened that day with the Secret Service, with the United States government? Why would they allow him to have a rangefinder?
Did he have a rangefinder? There were some reports that the individual had a rangefinder. That would certainly raise my suspicion. Did he have a rangefinder?
Yes, he did. But may okay. I explain that at a number of our sites, especially when you're at outdoor venues, a rangefinder is not a prohibited item. It is sometimes an item that is brought in by individuals if you're going to be in the back.
Did anybody confront him on that? Anybody ask him questions? What are you doing with the rangefinder? Anybody confront him on his presence where he was in proximity to the president?
So again, to my knowledge, I believe that was the process that was taking place, was to locate the individual.
Did they confront him? Did they go up to him? Did they talk to him?
I do not have those details at this time.
Those are important details.
This is how theories gain legs. Why doesn't the Secret Service director, well, former Secret Service director, she resigned this morning, why doesn't she know anything? Or does she know everything and she's lying? Keep in mind, we are not 9 minutes since this time. This is 10 days ago now. Yesterday it was 9. When she was giving this testimony, she was 9 days removed. 9 days is an eternity. Rapid fire investigation, timelines laid out. Did you hear her answer about the basics, like the timeline?
Why was Crooks able to fly a drone over the entire area the day of the rally and the day of his assassination attempt?
To my knowledge, he did not fly the drone over the entire area.
How did he fly a drone over the area, period? Any part of the area?
Again, I would have to go back and check the timeline of when that took place.
Do you have a timeline from any of the day?
I have a timeline that does not have specifics.
What? You've seen a timeline, right? I mean, I don't want to do any amateur artwork here on the show, but you've seen a timeline? You know what a timeline looks like? It's a line. You know, that's why they call it a timeline. And on the timeline, they have times, dates. 9:30 a.m. July, 10:30 a.m. July. That's a timeline. If there aren't any specifics on there, then it's not a timeline at all. It's just a line on a page. She really doesn't have any specifics, or she does, and she's lying. Who's covering up what? Or is nobody covering up anything? Are we just simply led now by the biggest bunch of DEI morons in the history of the world, and what we're seeing is weapons-grade incompetence? Or was this an organized assassination attempt put on by somebody? Foreign actor? Domestic actor? Corporate entity? Who knows? What I do know is this. There's virtually nothing I can refute at this point in time, because I don't have any institutions I can trust, and neither do you. Think about this. I want you to really, really think about this. Right now, we're angry. We don't have answers. We get a lot of I don't knows. I don't have the timeline. We have all that. But we will eventually be delivered answers by the FBI. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is the one who's going to eventually bring us the answers we need to calm our fears. Are you going to believe a single word of any of that? Especially because we all know the FBI is going to come with the lone gunman theory, as we know. I don't have any answers. Look, until today, when we finally got proof of life that Joe Biden was out sauntering around, and he looked terrible, I should note. Before today, people yesterday, all day, I'm sure you saw this, they were accusing Joe Biden of being dead. People thought, well, we haven't seen him on video. He said he's not running for office. We haven't even seen him on video. And you know what? You, me, We couldn't shoot down a single one of those theories either. I don't know. We're being lied to by everyone at all times. How do you know? All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. In fact, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, he has a lot of suspicions about this shooting, and he's doing a lot of fact-finding on it, and he has some juicy things for you. He's going to join us in a moment. I'm very anxious to ask him some questions. Before we get to him, I'm very anxious to ask you, where do you buy your garbage coffee from? Because if it's not Blackout, it's garbage. Look, Blackout Coffee, I love them. I love the fact that I can wear Blackout Coffee merch around because it's merch that promotes my values. They deliver me the best coffee I've ever had to my front door. Whatever you're into, I should note. I just like normal black coffee, medium roast, doesn't matter what it is. But they have, you want cinnamon coffee, they have it all. K-cups, whole bean, but set that aside. The coffee's amazing, they deliver it to you, the prices are great. They promote our values. They share our values. Coffee bean companies are hot, stinky garbage. They hate us, not Blackout. 20% off your first order at blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse. Go get some of the best coffee you've ever had. Get one of those really cool, they have the little metal coffee cups while you're there, and maybe a t-shirt. All right? We'll be back with the senator.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But you can see on the chart that saved my life. That was the chart that saved my life. I said, look it, I'm so proud of it. I think it's one of the greatest It was done by the Border Patrol. One of the greatest charts I've ever seen. It showed everything just like that. You know the chart. Oh, there it is. That's pretty good. Wow. Last time I put up that chart, I never really got to look at it. But without that chart, I would not be here today. Never got to look at it.
Pretty cool moment. And joining me now is a man who has some connection to that chart. Not that that's the most important thing he's doing right now, but joining me, great senator from the state of Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, I'm told you're the man who provided President Trump with that chart. Do I have that right?
Right. Well, it was the chart that I developed off of Border Patrol data. So when I became chairman of Homeland Security, obviously we had the Obama humanitarian crisis back there in 2014. So I've just been keeping track of, apprehensions on a monthly basis coming across the Southwest border. And we split it out, single adults, family units, unaccompanied children. So I've been developing that chart literally since 2015, updating every month. And when I was on the plane going up to the Green Bay rally on April 2nd, I had a number of things I discussed with the president. This was one of them. He saw that chart, liked it, asked me to send it to his staff. They changed up a couple of the titles on it, and he used it that day. And he's been using it ever since. So it's my chart, but off of Border Patrol data.
How about that? If that was me, I know you won't do this because you're way too nice. If that was me, I'd tell everybody that I was the one who personally saved Trump's life. It certainly wasn't the Secret Service. I do need to point that out. Now that we had the hearing yesterday, which is, of course, the standard government stonewalling where they don't answer a single thing. And now, of course, she retires to, I'm sure, a lovely government pension and a job at Pepsi. What have you found out about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump?
Well, I had my staff immediately start reaching out to law enforcement officials, federal and local. The feds are pretty well, they're not talking to us. They tell us to go contact our congressional liaison person who tells us nothing. And so we've gotten about as much out of federal law enforcement as the House got out of now former Director Cheadle. But local law enforcement has been talking to us. So we found out some pretty interesting things. Number one, the Secret Service did not attend the 9 o'clock security briefing. This is where, they're all going to get together and figure out exactly how they're going to handle the day. This was at 9 o'clock on the day of the assassination attempt. We also found out that they weren't operating on the same communication channels. So the county law enforcement, their sniper and SWAT teams weren't even in the same channel as their county patrol officers, who weren't on the same channel as Secret Service. Everything was being directed through the Butler County Comm Center and then having to be relayed, incredibly inefficient. We found out that, for example, the Secret Service was not going to send sniper teams. They decided to do that just a day or two beforehand. So luckily, they had their sniper team there available to take out the assassin after he opened fire. But again, everything, Jesse, you'd expect, that you would assume the Secret Service would do to protect a former president, our presidential nominee, or any of their protectees, they didn't do. And so there's so many unanswered questions. I released our preliminary findings just hopefully to prompt more people to come forward. We need more eyewitness accounts from the public. We need more law enforcement officials, maybe whistleblowers in the federal agencies, because their leaders aren't giving us information. Maybe whistleblowers will come forward. The American public needs the truth. It was just infuriating listening to the former director say, well, it's only been 9 days. Every time I heard that, I said, no, it's been 9 days. It's been 9 days. How can you not know this? And the fact is, she probably does know it. They're just not willing to be honest with the American public, which raises all kinds of suspicion and questions in and of itself.
Senator, it does. And this is our struggle. And I'm glad you're gathering facts. I'm glad you bring them to us here. But this is our struggle. I still don't know what I feel about this. I don't know what I believe. And I can't rule anything out because everyone in my government, well, everyone in the bureaucratic agencies, lies to me at all times. If somebody told me that an alien came down from Neptune and helped Thomas Crooks try to execute Donald Trump, I can't refute any of that because my government hides everything from me. They lie. I can't answer this. And so now every conspiracy theory out there is, who can refute it?
Well, we know that the Warren Commission was set up to hide the truth. You know, we know the FBI ran a corrupt investigation, knowing that the Russian collusion hoax was a political dirty trick by the Hillary Clinton campaign, and yet they went put America through a political turmoil that hasn't ended to this day. They haven't come clean. They haven't been honest. And so why would we believe them now? Now they're hiding information. You know, on the Senate briefing on Wednesday, both the FBI director and Secret Service director said, you know, we want to make sure that conspiracy theories can't take hold. You know, well, the way to do that is address the information out there, right? I mean, if, you know, people are saying that people were taken off the Secret Service detail for Trump and given to Dr. Jill Biden. Well, if that's not true, refute it. You know, saying that the sniper for the Secret Service had this guy in his sight, asked for permission to take him out, was denied permission. I don't, is that true? I don't know. Address that. It's out there. So again, because they're not being transparent, it just makes everybody suspicious and it leads to conspiracy theories. But unfortunately, you know, a lot of these things I've been accused of in terms of pushing conspiracy theories, all those things have been proven true. So I don't know what's true here. We're just providing information gleaned from interviews, phone interviews with local law enforcement who fortunately are talking to us. And we just need more people to come forward. There are so many pieces of the puzzle that need to be determined, but we're not getting from the federal officials at all.
Speaking of pieces of the puzzle, I can't even believe I have to ask questions like this. I feel like we're going over the Kennedy assassination again, but who's the man in the green suit? Why do I keep reading about some man in a green suit? Gosh, I feel like we're in a freaking movie. Who is this guy?
Again, I don't know where gray or green suit came from. In our report, we talk about how the Beaver County sniper team, they were the first people to go up on the roof. They were stationed at the AGR building. You know, they took some photographs. Then Allegheny County bomb squad came on there, probably because they saw the detonation device. Then at some point in time, a man in a suit came up on the roof. We haven't determined whether he ever provided credentials. He was assumed to be a Secret Service agent, but it was the Allegheny bomb squad that told the Beaver County sniper team to take the pictures or text the pictures they had taken of the assassin and send that to a 215 number. That was to an ATF agent. We've spoken to that individual. He's gone dark now. He's not giving us information. We're just getting from the ATF the standard, you know, All information should be channeled through your congressional liaison, but we did determine. So again, that's just bizarre. So Allegheny Bomb Squad told the Beaver County sniper team to send the pictures they had taken of the dead assassin to an ATF agent in Pittsburgh. Go figure. And they won't tell us why. I mean, if there's a reasonable explanation, tell us. Then the story doesn't have to percolate and people don't have to speculate. Be honest, be transparent. It's been 9 days. It's been more than 9 days. Now it's 10 days. This is more than enough time to gather some basic facts to be honest with the American public. The fact that they're not being honest, not being transparent, just raises questions.
Okay, so Senator, I just have to ask, and I know it's an opinion question, and I have to ask, but as we sift through all this and try to suss out exactly what happened, why did Donald Trump come within 2 inches away from having his brains blown out? Are we dealing with incompetence, malice? Are we dealing with, do you believe there were more people involved? I'm not saying Iran swooped in with secret agents. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But do we believe it was more than just this 20-year-old? What do you think right now? Because, man, the more I learn, the worse it looks.
I think that. The more we learn, the worse it looks. I mean, that's all I can tell you at this point in time. Again, I don't want to speculate. I'm trying to get the truth. And so what I'm saying is we need a completely independent investigation. I'm glad that the chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee of Investigations, I'm the ranking member, has agreed that we need to do transcribed interviews now. And hopefully we do it on a bipartisan basis. Right now, I'm still acting alone. My staff are the ones reaching out. We're the ones getting people calling into our account, and we'll post this on my whistleblower account. So if you have information, contact my office through our website. We need information, but we need to do the investigation now.
All right, Senator, I can't let you go without asking about the president. The assassination story seems like a year ago because there have been about 19 government scandals since then. The president of the United States of America puts out a PDF on Twitter saying he's not running for re-election. No one has laid eyes on him since. We have this bizarre note from his doctor. Now speaking of rumors, now people are floating the most bizarre rumors out there. But again, you can't refute anything. If this man is our president a functional adult? Do we at least know that? I mean, he does have an important job.
No, like you said, it's bizarre. I mean, the way he announced the fact he's not running for president, I'm old enough to remember Johnson, you know, President Johnson coming on national television from the Oval Office saying why he wasn't going to seek or accept the nomination of his party. I mean, that was national news. He went on. We haven't seen President Biden. And what's even more bizarre is the mainstream media, they're happy to accept and move on and start putting Kamala Harris on a pedestal, claiming she's the, you know, the next Messiah. So again, it's just, We live in bizarre times, Jesse. That's all I can say. It's just bizarre.
Man. We do, Senator. Thank you for being on it. Thanks for what you do. I appreciate you as always. God, jeez. A friend of mine, Bridget Fetasy, put out something on social media, I think it was last night, and it was so true. She said the president, he just resigned by a letter, and we haven't seen him. We don't even know if he's alive, and it's like the third weirdest thing that's happened in the last 10 days. May you live in interesting times, I guess I should say. All right, Michael Whatley, he's the new chairman of the RNC. I've been very hard on the RNC, we're hard on Republicans. Let's talk to him about the plan. That's what we're going to focus on. What's the plan? I don't want hopeful poll numbers and stuff like that. What's the plan to win in November? What's the plan to overcome Democrat things that Democrats... What is the plan? Is there a plan? Before we get to him, let's get to this. I have a plan. My plan involves a good night's sleep tonight. I'm going to get one, too. Are you going to get one? Do you know you're going to get one? Most of the time, I'm a good sleeper. I'd say once a week, once every couple weeks, I'll have an extra cup of Joe when I shouldn't have it. And then I'll think to myself, gosh, I'm not going to get to sleep. So what do? Well, you take something. Isn't that normal? People take something to sleep. Why don't you try something that's drug-free, natural? And more importantly, why don't you take something that'll have you feeling good when you wake up instead of groggy and heavy and tired? That's what Dream Powder is. It's just a cup of hot chocolate. You pour a little Dream Powder and a little milk or water and warm it up. I warm up a little glass of milk and I pour it in there. Mine's cinnamon chocolate. It's delicious. And as I'm going to bed, reading a book, watching something with the wife, I'm just sipping on a cup of hot chocolate and then I'm out. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is when I wake up, I feel so good. I don't feel heavy. Shopbeam.com/JesseKelly gets you 40% off. Go try it. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's very clear the system has already made their choice. As I explained to you yesterday, there's no mystery in who the nominee is going to be. The system has chosen. They chose to push poor Joe out the back door of the White House, and they chose Kamala Harris. She's obviously going to be the nominee. You see everybody lining up behind her right now. Joining me now, the new big cheese at the RNC, Michael Whatley. Michael, I'm assuming that this is not exactly any kind of a shock to the RNC, and y'all were prepped and ready to go blasting away at Kamala Harris.
Yeah, look, and really what it does is changes absolutely nothing. I mean, the Biden-Harris campaign, the Biden-Harris administration, she has been there side by side with him on every single decision that they've made. When you talk about inflation, it is because of the inflationary spending policies that she fully embraces. You talk about their weakness on the international stage. She fully stands by it. Even the fact that she's not going to be with Prime Minister Netanyahu when he does his appearance before Congress tomorrow. But nothing is like the border czar Kamala Harris, who led the charge to dismantle the most secure border that we've ever had and allow 10 million illegal immigrants to come across that border. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. We don't know what they're doing. But we know that even Biden's own administration, his own FBI, says it's a clear and present danger to a country. She is going to double down on every single one of those policies. And I think she's going to own Joe Biden and the Biden-Harris failures across the board.
Is there value, campaign value, in focusing on the fact that she covered for Joe Biden's very clear cognitive decline? I understand elections need to be made about the big deal, inflation, immigration, obviously, as you just did right there. But there, look, this is what this woman did. She bent over backwards the last 3 years to cover for the fact the sitting president is not a functional adult. Now, that matters to me, but does it matter to the undecided independent? Is that something you even dive into?
I think it does. I think it's really important. I mean, she basically told the entire world that he was fine, that he was sharp as a tack, that he was running circles around his staff. You know, at what point did they decide that he is no longer sharp as a tack and that he's, you know, physically incapable of running for president again? At what point did they make that call that they're going to ignore the will of 14 million primary voters on the Democratic side of the aisle and go with somebody who never won a single state in the 2020 primary and never won a single state in the 2024 primary?
God, it's just amazing when you put it like that. She's never done anything. Okay, but one thing she has done, especially over the last 48 hours, is raise gobs of money. Now, that's not exactly her prowess. Clearly, the money was lined up and ready for her to become the next chosen one. But you, to your credit, have been raising great money since you took over. Fundraising was in the toilet, and you stepped in and stepped it up for the RNC. How'd you do that?
Well, look, since President Trump became our nominee back in March, we've raised over $400 million. And it is really a testament to two things. Obviously, we've got a lot of great people that are working on that 24/7. But we've got President Trump. I mean, and the guy is absolutely a fundraising juggernaut. And the American people are not just voting for him in the primaries, not just voting for him and supporting him in this general. They're voting with their wallets. They are there. You know, we are seeing, you know, 95% plus of all of our donations are coming from small dollars, you know, $200 or less. And we're seeing about 30% of all of our donations are coming in from first-time donors. You know, so that really opens up an entirely new universe of people that are saying, I support this guy and I'm going to stand up and support it. On the other side, look, the Democrats are going to have a ton of money. They always have a ton of money. They spent $150 million over the last couple months trying to knock out President Trump, and all he's done is gone up in the polls. So I will take, you know, our campaign discipline, the fact that every dollar that we raise is being spent on two things and two things only. We're going to get out the vote and we're going to protect the ballot. That's where we're spending our money. And I feel very comfortable that we're going to have the resources we need to get our message out to every American voter.
Everyone talks about election integrity now. Of course, that's how you have to put everything. But it is a big deal, making sure, especially in these swing states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, making sure everything is on the up and up because people don't trust their election process. Are you on that? And if you are, what does that mean?
We are on it all day, every day, and I can tell you and all of your watchers and listeners, this is the number one priority for the RNC. This is what we are working on around the clock. That there are really two things that you've got to take a look at when you talk about election integrity. First, you've got to get the rules of the road the right way. So in every state, we want basic rules, right? It is illegal in all 50 states for somebody who's not a citizen to vote. We want to make sure that every state is going to enforce that. We want voter ID. We want the states to clean up their voter rolls. And in states where we've got mail-in balloting or absentee balloting, you got to have basic protections in place. Things like a signature requirement, a witness requirement. We want those ballots in a mailbox, not a drop box. And we want them in before election day. You know, this is not election denialism. These are not conspiracy theories. These are basic protections that we've got to have in all 50 states before the voting starts. The second thing that we want to do is you got to be in the room. You got to be in the room whenever a vote is being cast, whenever a vote is being counted. So right now we've got a nationwide campaign. ProtectTheVote.com is the website that we've set up. We're asking 100,000 people all across the country to go to ProtectTheVote.com, sign up. We're gonna bring you in, we're going to train you, and we're going to deploy you to serve as an observer in your election places, in your town, because I would rather have a police car parked in front of a storefront window than call them after a rocket's thrown through it. And our approach is very proactive, and we want to be in the room whenever they're counting and whenever they're casting the votes.
I like that. I'm glad to hear it. Michael, I appreciate you, sir. Thank you very much. ProtectTheVote.com. ProtectTheVote.com. You want to dig in? Be a way for you to dig in. I want you to dig in on your cell phone right now, too. Who do you have this cell phone with? Let's put it this way. Who do you make a payment to every single month? Do you pay dirty commies every month? You know Verizon hates you. Their corporate board, their policies. Go look up Verizon and DEI, ESG. You happy to be supporting that with your money? My phone company doesn't do that, Pure Talk. I'm on the same 5G network you're on. I don't drop calls. I pay half of what you pay, same cell phone number. Pure Talk's CEO is a veteran. Pure Talk loves America so much they hire Americans who speak English. When you get a hold of someone at Pure Talk, they can understand you and you can understand them back. It's a miracle. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. It takes 10 minutes to switch. 10 minutes, nothing. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Switch. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this was interesting. You see, there's a big, long history on the Democrat Party and their relationship with the Jewish people in America. And I had a fascinating conversation with my campaign manager one time back when I was losing congressional races. He's an Orthodox Jew. And I was asking why this is. You know, why is it two-thirds of Jewish people in America voted Democrat? And he was talking about Democrats were really the first ones all the way back to FDR who kind of welcomed Jewish people into the administration. So there's a real history there. There's a real history there. But my, how times have changed in less than 100 years. Netanyahu, he's here in America. He's going to address Congress. Okay, this is not something uncommon at all, very common thing. But Biden's not going to be there. And neither is Harris. And in fact, you have Democrats going on television saying they're not sure if Harris can pick Josh Shapiro because he's Jewish. Joining me now, senior editor at large, Breitbart News, Joel Pollack, author of the book, The Agenda, wonderful book. Okay, Joel, I find this party adjustment, realignment, if you will, to be so fascinating. Did I miss anything there? I'm sure I was given a 30,000-foot view, but don't you find this fascinating?
Well, we're not sure yet just how significant the realignment is going to be. There are certainly some Jewish Democrats who are going to vote for Donald Trump this time around because they do not believe Democrats have what it takes to stand up to the anti-Semitism on campus. This isn't just about Israel. You know, when you do opinion surveys of Jewish voters, Israel comes in somewhere around the fifth most important thing for Jewish voters. It is more important to some Jewish voters, but in general, when you're talking about the American Jewish community, they care more about the same issues that everybody else cares about, whether it's taxes and inflation and the economy, or for liberal Jewish voters, often abortion. The reason abortion is an important issue to some Jewish Democrats is the topic of an entirely different interview. But basically, American Jewish voters outside of Republicans, so most American Jewish Democrats, don't place Israel as a very high priority. But what's happened is that the anti-Israel protests that we've seen since October 7th have become anti-Semitic, and they've made life impossible for American Jews, not just when they go to pray and not just in the Orthodox community where people are visibly Jewish, but they've made life impossible for Jews on college campuses, which if you're a liberal Jewish Democrat, you think of as a safe haven, probably the thing you take most seriously. I mean, American Jews are very big on college, very big on college education. When I was growing up in the Chicago suburbs in a liberal Jewish community, the most popular accessory to wear was a hat with the name of a college on it. I mean, American Jews culturally are very attached to academia and to college. And to have the colleges turn against Jews in the way that they have is really unsettling. And so that's why you're going to see something of a shift. I do still think the majority of Jews will vote for Democrats, but you will see enough of a shift maybe to make a difference in swing states, particularly Pennsylvania and even Nevada, where there's a significant Jewish population in Clark County, and it happens to be a very pro-Israel population. So you may see some shifts that do affect the election.
Joel, my son and I were actually having a conversation this morning. He's 15, but he's just one of these political animals, news junkies. And he said, "Dad, I can't seem to find any updates on how the war in Israel's actually going. You see endless amounts of propaganda, but there's very little in the way of news. What's happening? Hamas, Hezbollah. I understand you're in Jerusalem as we speak, so surely you can speak more intelligently than I could this morning."
Generally speaking, the war is going well for Israel, but there are massive challenges still remaining. Israel is fighting a war on seven fronts. We think of it as a war in Gaza, but it's actually a war on seven fronts. The war started with Hamas attacking Israel on October 7th. So there's a war in Gaza. That's one front. Hamas is backed by Iran. Then there's a potential war looming in the north with Hezbollah, which started firing at Israel in solidarity with Hamas. They're also backed by Iran. So you've got Gaza, southern Lebanon. Then you've also got various different militias in Iraq that are controlled by Iran that are firing missiles and drones at Israel. So you have several more fronts there. And then you've got the Houthis in Yemen who are launching long-range missiles and who are attacking international shipping, trying to close the Bab el-Mandeb Strait to any passage of traffic headed to the port of Eilat in Israel on the Red Sea. All of these groups are backed by Iran. Iran is using seven different terrorist proxies, basically, to fight Israel. And so Israel is dealing with these threats one by one. They've dealt with Hamas. They're ready for war in the north with Hezbollah if it comes to that. And they just took out the big ports, Al-Hudaydah in Yemen, where the Houthis were importing a lot of their weapons from Iran after a drone hit Tel Aviv last week. So you could say Israel's making progress. I mean, they've killed upwards of 14,000 Hamas terrorists. They've taken over Gaza on the surface. They're now working through the tunnels, trying to get the Hamas leaders. They're having a lot of success. You can see the confidence of the Israeli military has increased. The bargaining position, the negotiating posture of Israeli negotiators in these hostage negotiations has become stronger and more confident. They're not looking for a peace at any price or a ceasefire at any price. They're not looking to give everything away to a hostage deal. They know that they can demand more of Hamas now. So their position is strengthening. At the same time, the challenge of Iran is so massive. And they're looking at the United States. And first of all, they didn't have confidence in President Biden to do anything to help beyond his rhetorical help in the beginning of the war. And now that you've got this complete chaos in the Biden administration with Biden not running and Kamala Harris running, should she take over as president, it's totally messed up. And Netanyahu is speaking in Congress tomorrow on Wednesday, but Harris is refusing to preside, for whatever reason, over the Senate session or the joint session where he's going to be. She's going to meet him in the White House at some point, but he's also going to meet former President Trump at Mar-a-Lago, we just learned on Friday, because he's the presumptive, well, he is now the official Republican nominee, but he could also be the next president. And if the election were held today, he might be the next president. So there's this transition happening within the American government that is also making it difficult for Israel to know exactly what its strategy should be going forward. Israel attacked the Houthis, or shall I say, responded to the Houthis entirely on its own, did not use American support in any way. But Israel would prefer to deal with Iran, if they have to, with some amount of American support. So right now, things are very much up in the air. Life has returned mostly to normal in Israel since October 7th, but people are still very tense about the future.
No doubt. Joel, appreciate you as always, my brother. You come back anytime. Joel Pollack, everybody. All right. Lighten the mood. Next.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And you know that bicycle people are just the worst. They're the absolute worst. Do you know that you're going slower than the cars, right? So there's no need for all of you to line up 20 across in the road and force me to do 15 in a 35. You understand how inhumanly rude that is? Anyway, I'm not gonna go off on a tangent here. I'm just gonna say, whenever one of these entitled cyclists gets what's coming to him, I find it hilarious.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.